Shulchan Aruch with them, Simon Kuf Yud Gimel. If you don't have a Shulchan Aruch, raise your hand. What? I just have a Zirach with a Shulchan Aruch.
The whole
sentence,
or just?
Yeah.
What?
From Hebrew book?
I think from the
Zirach
machine.
Way that. Yeah. Okay. Okay, Rabotai. Okay. Okay, the, we're on, yes. Excuse me. Okay, the Isser Bishul Akum, which in Gemara language is called Shlokos, Shlokos just means cooked foods, is found in the second paragraph of Avodah Zarah by all the other Mishnayos of the different foods of Goyim, what's mutter and what's asher to eat and what's asher ba'na'ah. The Mishnah on Daf Lamed Hei. Amit Beis, and not so much Gemara from Daf Lamed Zayin Amit Beis until Lamed Ches Amit Beis. Just one Daf of Gemara. Before we get into the nitty gritty halachos, the first Pesachei Tshuva gets into a more fundamental question, which is why does Chazal make a gzeira against what's called in Gemara language shlokos, or what we call Bishul Akum? So the mainstream Deya. The mainstream Deya is what's found in Rashi and the Mishnah, and most Rishonim, who says, let me just find the Rashi. Yeah. V'kulo mishom chasnos, to avoid intermarriage, like many of the other Gzeiros, the Gemara mentions explicitly that a few of the things, the foods of Goyim, the Aser, would avoid intermarriage. If you eat and drink too much of the Goyim, you'll come to a social closeness, which will end up leading to intermarriage. Rashi and on the Mishnah, that's Lamed Hei Beis, the most Rishonim say the reason is Mishom Chasnos, intermarriage. However, Rashi on the Gemara, on the Tatadaf Lamed Chesem and Aleph, surprisingly says differently. Nira says, Shelo Yisro Ragulat Lo B'machol V'mishnah V'yachilenu Dover Tamei. Gzeira Mishom Eating Treif. Why? If you get used to eating what the Goyim cook. Of course, we're only talking about if you know it's kosher. If you don't know it's kosher, you don't need Chazal to make a gzeira. The gzeira is even on kosher food the guy and cook. But what's the gzeira? This time you'll make sure it's kosher. Next time you'll make sure it's kosher. The third time you'll make sure it's kosher. But if you get used to eating there, by the eighth or ninth or tenth time, you'll forget to make sure it's kosher, and he'll end up feeding you treif meat and other big isurim. So here we have a hakira. Is the reason for the gzeira because of, like Rashi says on the Mishnah and the other Rishonim, because of Chasnos, or like Rashi on the Gemara, Shema Yachi Lenu, Gavar Tomei, Tomei generally means trace species. Yeah, he'll feed you trace food because you'll let your guard down. Yeah?
We're assuming like nefarious motives he's trying to get you these trace for you.
Not nefarious motives. And just the guy naturally eats trafe, so one of these days you're gonna end up messing up and having a problem. They're both logical. It's strange that Rashi so sure himself. What's the nature of the relationship between these two? Rashis? So most Akronim seem to assume it's just a machlokas between Rashi and Rashi, or Rashi so sure himself. As difficult as that is, just what the Stira in Rashi, most people just say it's a Stira. Alright, it's funny that a Stira in Rashi, Rashi must have changed his mind, why he wasn't consistent, why he read the same thing in the Mishnah, same thing in Gemara. Either he somehow changed his mind, or he somehow held that the Mishnah was one under the Gemara is the other under Amr, although it's hard to figure out how to fill the details to make that logical.
Usually, I mean, I don't have any limited Gemara, but usually Rashi in the Mishnah explains all the Havamina of the Gemara.
So maybe Rashi the Havamina, but you have to explain where that transition happened, right? Okay, so we're not 100% sure. L'chora, though, like the Talmud saying, is maybe you have to go for what he says in the Gemara, which is yes, right? So let's say it's a little better. Maybe it's a Havamina and a Maskana. You're right, that's nice to me, even though It's hard to figure out where that changed. However, the Rav has a big finish here. The Rav had this idea. Rav Shechter likes to quote this idea, and the others on even the Rav, of Kol V'tikun Rabbanan Ke'in D'Oraisa Tikun. That's not the Rav's idea. That's the Gemara. Whatever it says, whenever the Rabbanan meets Takana, they make it similar to the Din D'Oraisa. What was the Rav's Kiddush here? The Rav's Kiddush is that there's a difference between the reason for a Takana and the nature of the Takana. The reason for the Takana might be something which is not found in the Torah. Chazal looked around and saw we have to make a siyog of the Torah, not something found in the Torah, make a new siyog. However, this was the Rav's Kiddush. Whenever the Rabbanan made it in, he went even further in this Kiddush, says even Minhagei Yisrael have to follow this rule, from which he got a lot of halakhic tradition up to Yisrael Omer, but not for now. He says whenever the Chachamim make a din, they have to fit it in with some halakhic category found in the Torah. They can't just stop making a new din. So, says the Rav, a tremendous Kiddush, the reason they made the Gzeira is to avoid intermarriage. That's the reason. They were afraid of intermarriage. They wanted to keep Jews socially far away from Goyim. You shouldn't go to your Goyish friend's house for dinner all the time. And it worked. You can't go to your Goyish friend's house for dinner all the time. However, that's not found in the Torah. There's nothing in the Torah that says certain foods are also because of intermarriage. At least, not according to Rashi. So therefore, when they made the Takana, they had to make it to be like something in the Torah. So they were gozer, it's a suffix dvarim tameim, suffix tarfus. Since even though you watch the guy, it could be that one of these days you won't watch him well enough and it will end up being trafe, and that is something found in the Torah. Suffic trafe is something found in the Torah. Trafe is usher, and a suffic trafe is also usher. So therefore, that was the way they made the Takana. This is based on the Rosh Tremendous Kiddush, that whatever the reason the Chacham is, they have to make the Takana in a way that it fits in with some pre-existing isser in the Torah. So if we can call this, we could say, the Ta'am Hadin is Mishon Chasnos, but the Ofi Ha'isser, Ofi, the character of the Isser, is Safek Dvarim Tameim. Dvarim Tameim again meaning trace meat. Right? That's based on the Rav's general Mahalach in life. He has this resolution, the Stira. I'll just point out one other. I'm sure there's a million others that I'm not familiar with. You know, every Achron, as you can imagine, has dealt with this Stira in Rashi. Most of them probably more along the lines of Salah suggested, but there's a sefer called Mekor Mayim Chayim, which is a pirush by Maharam Padua on Yoredeya. So the sefer Mekor Mayim Chayim says, he says that, you know what, neither of these reasons is very strong. Chasnus intermarriage? Just because the guy cooks you rice, you're not going to end up intermarrying. Just to cook food is a small chash of intermarriage, but not such a strong chash of intermarriage. They wouldn't make a gzera because of such a small chash. He might feed you trace someday. It's a very small chash because you know you have to watch him. You know he's a guy and you can't be stomach on him. You have to be careful what the ingredients are. And therefore, both these reasons are weak reasons. Not strong enough to make an isser. But for two weak reasons together, that's enough to make an isser. Two weak reasons together is enough to make an isser. And therefore, that's what Rashi meant. Neither reason was good enough. Only both reasons together justify making a gzeira. And unlike most gzeiras that come made for one reason, this gzeira, they waited until they had two reasons, each of which was halfway good, and therefore it adds up to a good reason. So what's the Mekorban Chaim says? Ko Ta'am is very weak. Aval Gazro Mishon Shnei Hatamin, or let's say better, Mishon Seiruf Beis Hatamin. The Mekor Mayim Chayim then does something very, very clever. He says, if they only had exerted of two reasons, then if one reason's missing, they shouldn't make the Xera. If the other reason's missing, they shouldn't make the Xera. And now you can take this or leave it, depending if it resonates with you. He then used this to explain very cleverly why there are two famous hekerim. If something's nechas mot shukai, it's mutter. And if something's eno olal shukham lachem, it's mutter. How does he explain it? He says, well, if something's not fit for a king table, then maybe there's some shash of trace down the line, but there's no shash of intermarriage. If it's not a fancy food, you're not going to intermarry, so they weren't gozer. If something is fit for a king's table, but it's edible raw, whatever's edible raw, there's no shash of trace. Things that are edible raw are very simple foods that there's no shash of going to end up being trace. And therefore, they weren't gozer. So there only goes when they both reason together. If it's not edible raw, there's a reason that he might be betrayed. If it's fit for a king's table, there's a reason of intermarriage, only when there are both reasons they were gozer. If only one reason applies and one doesn't, Kolshkin. If neither reason applies, they weren't gozer. That's a very clever chap of the Maran Padua.
Does that mean that if it's something that's fancy and fits at a king's table, you'll want to come back a second time, but if it's not, you won't?
No, I according to him, that's what leads to intermarriage. If it's something fancy, you'll feel very close and it'll lead to intermarriage.
But because you'll hang out with them more often?
Why would
that change?
Because if he gives you really good food, then you'll feel closer. It'll create more of a social bond. Yeah, I guess it'll continue till intermarriage. You're right. I guess also the bond will continue. No one's going to get married after one evening, right? The zero is not only for Hasidim.
What if I'm cooking and I'm just eating the other
night? Well, meaning, why is it okay for him to eat the food you cooked and not for you to eat the food he cooked?
No, why is it
that's a fascinating question. If chasnas, which again is the majority of shot, is chasnas, then if it's chasnas, then why are they only going to the guy cooks it? Who cares who cooks it? Even if you go to a restaurant and the Jewish chef cooks it, it should be us or the even the guy. It's a good question. Unless, and here I'm going to sort of give a little smack to the famous Rabbeinu Avraham, or the infamous Rabbeinu Avraham, unless you say no, but really the ikar chasnas is if you go to their turf. If they go to your turf, then that's not going to lead to so much chasnas. It's only if you go to theirs. If the guy comes to your house, still your house, a Jewish house, the Jewish environment, it's not so bad. If you go to the guy's house, then already you start assimilating. And therefore, the way they made that gzeira is they made it here on who cooks. Because if the guy cooks, usually like you're on his turf and you're influenced by him. If I invite the guy over for dinner, then still, it's in my Jewish house, so it's going to be more Jewish, and he's going to realize that he's not at home there, and it's going to be less likely to intermarriage. I think it's what you have to say.
If you're making him chill, if anything, he'll convert, though.
Right. If he could taste the Shabbos Shult, he can convert on the spot. The only problem is, the guy can't taste the Shabbos in the Shult.
Could be that it'll lead to feelings of closeness when you know the person put effort into it.
Right, that could also be Elon. If he went through the trouble of making it for you, that leads to more feelings of closeness than if you did it for him. Although psychologically, it's the end of the harpy. It's actually fascinating. What makes you love someone more? If you do something for them or if they do something from you? Most psychologists come up with the opposite answer of what we would think. But not for now. Okay, in any case, let's go back to however the Stira and Rashi works. Maybe there's an answer to Stira and Rashi, maybe it's just a Stira. The Pitzchei Shuvos is a nafka mina between these two reasons. I'm not saying it's nafka mina is mochrach. You could disagree with either side, but this is what the Pitzchei Shuvos says. He says, what's the nafka mina? Nafka mina is what about a mummer? Mummer meaning a non-firm Jew. Right? What about a non-firm Jew? Literally, mummer sometimes means like someone who converted to another religion. But he says here, meaning a Jew who either converted to another religion as Machal Shabbos Farhesi or just doesn't keep the whole Torah. Someone's just not from. So, here, what does he say? Mitzad chasnos. Even if the Jew's not from, there's no problem with intermarriage. What does intermarriage mean? Like, your son will marry his daughter, or your daughter will marry his son. Okay, but then they'll be from. That's okay, right? You're allowed to marry the daughter of a non-from Jew as long as she agrees to be from. So, not only agrees to this, that's the best that you may assume, that there's no zero of intermarriage by a non-from Jew. Because you'll just tell them to be from. That's the condition of getting married. So therefore, it would be, what about bishul of a mumer? What if a non-from Jew cooks? If the problem is intermarriage, there's no iser intermarriage with a non-from Jew. But if the iser is shemei yachid is burnt to meyim, then it should be also the non-from Jew is just as likely to feed your treif as the guy. Right? Meaning the guy eats treif, the non-from Jew eats treif. So what's the difference? Either way, you'll end up getting messed up. There's no difference in kashrus between a non-from Jew and a guy. They both eat pork. The difference is in intermarriage that it's okay to make a shidduch with a non-from Jew. Probably a lot of people in Gross who maybe one of the spouse's parents weren't from. And that's okay. So you make a shidduch with a non-from Jew and intermarry and then teach him to be from. So that's what he says is the nafka mina. That's what the Pitzchei Shuvos says right here. And he doesn't totally resolve it. He just says, the ikar gzeira is shel chasnas. And therefore, a bishul of a non-from Jew should be mutter, because there's no iser of intermarriage. Even though then he says, parentheses, see, there are those who disagree, but that's what we assume. But then he says, there's another reason of, maybe you'll feed your trait. In which case, even a non-from Jew might feed your trait. And he doesn't totally resolve it. Give me a second. To this day, it's not a completely resolved question. Is there an iser, a vishal akum, for a non-firm Jew? Either you go to your non-firm relative's house and they cook for you, or you have a factory in Israel where non-firm Jews work. Halacha l'maisa, there are different opinions about this, but most poskim assume that it is okay. The general minhag olam is to be maker on this. Just for example, I'll give you some nafkaminas and why. Because they say the main reason is chasmas. That's what all the Rishonim say. It's Stephen Rashi, but all the other Rishonim say chasmas. So I'll just give you some aramakomos on this. For example, the tzitz el yezer, the shut tzitz el yezer, if you look in chilek tes simen mem aleph, says, ein makom lachosh mishum mishuli akom, beashimurim shenatsum is bashlim bevate charoshes shebalei and porky ol mechali shabbos kosh for hetzer achmanu l'tfad. You don't have to worry about the camps and the factories or the people aren't from. This is chilek tes simen mem aleph. Or Rav Avadya in the Yabia Omer. Chelek Hay, Simon Yud, says his mother. Okay. Ancient Sylvia says there's no shas. Yabia Omer says, well, if you're giving us shas, like a chila, have a mashkia, have a frum guy like the stove. But the Maisa, we assume, you go to your non from relative's house, you don't have to opt or official opt them. However, the Mahadran Ashkachos are machmer on this, and they require that the factory is not from Jews, mashgiach like the stove, same as in a factory with goyim in America. So the mahadran hashgachos are generally machmer on this, just to be yotzi all the day, or some may occur generally assume it's okay. Like, the main reason is chasmas.
Would this, like, would some people who, like, say, no, even mishum chasmas, like, there is a risk, and... And like it would depend, like even like hashkafic factors of like what's more.
So that is interesting. If you look at the pre-Megavah at the beginning of some Kufiyot days, he discusses this issue of maybe they should give Zerah Chasmas, because who says they're going to keep the mitzvahs if you intermarry? Maybe they won't keep the mitzvahs. So Yesh Lodim was a harbe, but not for now. Okay, and you're right, it does become hashkafic, but also not for now. Now let's get into the nitty gritty of the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Shulchan Aruch, right, the Gemara on the top of Daf Lamed Ches, in the very beginning of Daf Lamed Ches, has two Lashonos. Tosfos assumes that one lashon is mekel in both cases. What's the kula? When were chazal mekel? Either they were mekel on anything edible raw, nechlef mon shuchai, or they were mekel on dover, she'inu ol shulchan lachin, not fit for a king's table. And we pasken like both the kulas. Tosfos points out that's really the maskat of the Gemara, like both the kulas. So we have two kulas. If you want to know, what are the sort of the kulas exceptions? What are the exceptions? Let's make a list here of exceptions to the Isser of Bishal Akum. One exception is Davar Hanechal Timotshu Chai, anything edible raw. And the second exception is Davar She'eno Ole Al Shulchan Melachim. Yes.
Just go back for a second. Maybe you said there were from generally Mako.
Mm-hmm.
Is that under the assumption that you don't have any trash at the pots are trade?
Correct. This is assuming that the food is kosher.
And everything.
And even if the pots are trade, b'di'evid, once they cook this, we assume it's not benyobo. Right. Or let's say it's a factory where, the Hashkafor agency checks out all the things. They just, the people in the factory are non from. Or it could be a restaurant, right? The Mashkiach in the restaurant checks out everything. But the people in the restaurant are not from. Or you go to your relative's house, and they already cooked something for you, and the pot is minastam inu ben yomo, and it's all kosher ingredients, like they cooked a very simple thing, like a hard-boiled egg or something. Right? So you know it's kosher. There's all assuming you know it's kosher. If you don't know it's kosher, forget it, as we'll see soon in the Rabbah. Okay, that's the Shulchan Aruch. Says, Dovr she'inu nechal moshu chai, v'gam olo shulchan melach, it's only usher if it's inedible raw, and it's fit for a king's table. L'lafos bos ha'pas olo parperes. Shebish lo oved chavim afilu b'kli yisrael beis yisrael aser mishum mishule oved ko chavim. Right, so even if it's Jewish kli, meaning even a kosher kli, even a kosher ingredient, there's an esher official actum if it doesn't fall under one of these two exceptions. Let's just talk a little about one exception, the exception of fit for a olal shulchan melachim. Okay, nowadays maybe we don't really have the same king. Some people say you can estimate by a state dinner. Most of them have a state dinner. You can estimate by a wedding or something. You know, there's some things they serve at a wedding, some things they would not serve at a wedding. Let's just give some examples of things that are not Ola al Shulchan Melachim. For example, breakfast cereal, right? Cornflakes. Truth is, cornflakes is also edible raw. You can eat raw corn. Raw corn is actually very good. Sometimes you buy in the supermarket, the raw corn isn't good because it's already, you know, been sitting around a long time. But fresh raw corn is very good. Especially all the strains are sweet nowadays. But for example, breakfast cereals. Let's say Rice Krispies, right? Rice Krispies is not olal shel malachim, right? And all breakfast cereals are not olal shel malachim, right? Even though you can't eat rice raw. But Rice Krispies are mutter, and the OU gives an OU to the Rice Krispies, or the Badatz Eid Haredis gives a Badatz to the, if they have rice, theoretically, if they have Rice Krispies, they must someplace. Would give a Eid Haredis the Rice Krispies. They have Mashkiach check out the place. But even if going to do all the cooking, good, not all shul malachim. You don't serve breakfast cereals at a king's table. That's Pashin. And so too for all hot or cold breakfast cereals, oatmeal also. You don't serve oatmeal as shulchan malachim. That would be very, very strange. So, for example, breakfast foods are not ola al shulchan malachim. Another example of things that aren't ola al shulchan malachim is snacks and candies. Now, again, I have no idea. The melech might have a yitzhara for some of these things, but they're not formal kosher foods, right? Potato chips and corn chips and, you know, and candies are not ola al shulchan malachim. Clearly, like snack foods and candies are not ola al shulchan malachim, even if they're cooked and even if they're made out of ingredients that are inedible raw. Breakfast foods, I don't mean fancy breakfast foods, I mean breakfast cereals, are not ola al shulchan malachim. For example, I don't know, a baby formula is obviously not ola al shulchan malachim. And also sometimes you can have very low quality food is not ola al shulchan malachim. Now, I don't mean low quality food like, oh, this is not such a good steak. Because we're not machal, we don't have ways to machal between this steak and that steak. But I mean, if, for example, I don't know, they make like, and here it does get a little tricky, but I don't know if Jews have this. Do we have Spam? You know, there's lunch meats? No, we don't have these kosher things. You know, there's some like products that are just very low quality products. And tuna fish is a classic example. The big machlokas and tuna fish back in the day. Still is a big machlokas. Is tuna fish needs to be cooked by a Jew or not? Right? Does tuna fish have an issur bishul akum or not? So most kosher agencies said that, you see nowadays even, some of them say, in America, some say like bishul yisrael, chasidus ashkacha, or not chasidus, or whatever, and some don't say that. I think the standard of tuna fish, for many reasons, is not. They don't require bishul yisrael. They say it's no problem. One of the reasons is, because everyone knows tuna fish is not olal shulchan malachim. You think they would take a can of, maybe they have a tuna steak, but they wouldn't have a can of tuna fish on the shulchan malachim. It's mevuzah to put tuna fish on shulchan malachim because it is a it is a low quality food. People have been fighting about this for a long time. I even know one rabbi who actually met the chef of the Queen of Denmark or something. I hope Denmark has a queen, and asked him if she eats tuna fish or not. And somehow there was some miscommunication, didn't get a straight answer, apparently like only on hunting expeditions or something, because they have different menhagim as to what they eat, and they eat food from cans, and they don't eat regular food that's cooked, but not at home. So that doesn't kind of show them a lot.
You can get a pre-cooked, like preserved meal, like we know, like a steak, are those like, a lot of
right.
People feel like below the dignity of
So in general the rule is, that if something is really a kind of food that ola al shulchan malachim, it's just that, you know, like some are a little better than others, then we're macher. So, for example, let's say airline meals. Airline meals, you know, some people like them more, some people like them less. I'm not such a maven in food, it's all the same to me. So, you know, what's wrong with airline meals? Once I get married, I realized that. Like, well, like if you're on your own, it's probably like mussar not to be amazing in food and say, you know, we live to eat, we don't eat to we eat to live, we don't live to eat. Once you get married, and even beforehand if you have a mother, it's a mussar to appreciate it. Say, oh, this food is so good, it's so good, so much better than a lot of other food I've had. So I pretend to be more amazing in food since I got married. But I think airline meals are just fine. And I don't know, like if you took it out of that stupid little tin and you put it on a fancy plate, I think some of them can pass. A lot of it's psychological. So anyway, so all those things. Generally, most foods, I know some people try to go too makel on this. They say, well, everything's not olal shulchan lachem. No. Standard foods are olal shulchan lachem. Meaning standard fleishik foods, standard fish. I don't mean tuna fish. I mean like if you actually cook a fish. Standard meat, chicken, fish is all, we assume is all olal shulchan lachem until proven otherwise. Standard side dishes are olal shulchan lachem. Vegetables, kugels, rice, pasta, all these things go on shulchan lachem. So standard foods go on shulchan lachem. The things that don't go on shulchan lachem is either specific foods that are really like not quality, or snacks or candies, or breakfast foods that are only for breakfast, like cereals.
2 points. The Darkei Moshe towards the beginning, maybe the third one, says he defines olal shulchan lachem as something you'd invite someone over to eat. So like, I don't, like lav dafka has to be. Meaning, it's like similar, I guess, like to gather things that we'll talk about, like in terms of like Havdalah and Chama Medina and whatever.
Right. You'd invite someone over for a meal of side dishes.
Like,
right.
But you don't need the Queen of Denmark to be eating it, meaning.
You wouldn't invite someone over to feed them tuna fish.
But
meaning, if your kid had a play date, you might give them tuna fish.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't invite an adult over and give them tuna fish. I'm fairly confident of that. But you would give them regular food.
But Zagabi, the Korkabin. So the pre-chadash explains that, like, oh, we're not mechalik between different meats and low plug. So then, why are you not saying something like that by tuna fish, or why aren't you saying?
Okay. So hold that thought for a moment. Let's go into the Shulchan Aruch here. Does not have a lot of details about olal shulchan lachem, but let's go into some details of olal shulchan lachem. Okay, and then I'll come back to what the Talmud was saying, if that's okay. Number one, the question is, olal shulchan lachem, for what purpose? So here, the Gemara says, lafik bo hapas, to eat with the bread. Remember, in the old days, they used to eat everything on the bread. However, the Shulchan Aruch here adds, Muslim Zom Chiddush, as a matter of fact, the before the Rambam and the Gros says, it's mochrach from Shas. It says, olal parperis. What is parperis? Parperis means meaning, lafik bo hapas, what we call nowadays a side dish. Right, what is las bo hapas, the equivalent nowadays? Nothing you eat, you put on your bread. It means the main dish or the side dish, what you put on the big plate in the main part of the meal. Parperis means an appetizer. The chronim also write that it could also mean a dessert. Again, a dessert is not the same as a snack food, right? You don't serve potato chips for dessert. So it means an appetizer or dessert, something eaten at a formal meal, something they would serve at a wedding, right? For a wedding, they serve a fancy appetizer and a fancy entree and a fancy dessert. Parperis usually means appetizer, but Chachamim says includes dessert. So all of those are olal shulchan lachem. The Pri Chadash wants to say maybe only a main course, only last was a pas, but which course? So this is the Machlokes says the Pri Chadash. Only lalapis bois hapas, which is the main course. However, the Shulchan Aruch and all the other achronim say, or parperis, meaning any course in a fancy meal counts as bishul apim. However, the achronim write, and this comes up a lot in industrial kashrus, only if it would be its own food, not if you just put it in a food that you would serve in a meal. So, for example, canola oil, you certainly can't eat raw canolas, that's for sure. Canola oil, and you have to cook the canolas to make canola oil. Canola oil is not a problem bishul apim. The OU or Ba'edah Haredis, wherever, give a hashgacha, canola oil, even if only goyim cooking in the factory. Why? Because you don't eat it for a main course and you don't eat it for a side dish. You put it in the kugel. Right? You probably put in everything, right? Anyone here cooks, you probably put a little in everything. But it's not a course of the meal. It has no chashivas. It's just tafel to the other course of the meal. Anything which is tafel to the other course of the meal, but it's not a course in and of itself. It's not a side dish. It's not a main dish. It's not an appetizer. It's not a dessert. It's just something you put on one of those things or put in one of those things. It's not a problem. So, for example, sugar and artificial sweeteners, you don't eat them. You just put them in something else. Is not a problem bishul apim because they're not a chashiv food. And not only that, even things which you put on things, like, for example, salad dressings. Maybe there's some salad dressings that are not edible raw that the guy can cook. I don't know how you make salad dressing. But you don't serve salad dressing for a course. It just goes on the salad. The salad's a course. Right? But it goes on. Or croutons. The OU says croutons, you don't have the guy can cook and give it to OU. Why? Because you don't eat croutons as part of your meal. You put, or soup nuts or whatever. Any croutons like bread, soup nuts. You don't eat soup nuts. You put the soup nuts in your soup. The soup is also halachim. The soup is a main part of the meal. Right? Chicken soup is clearly a problem bishul akum. It's olah shel halachim, depending on what kind of soup. Right? Chicken soup is a problem bishul akum. It's olah al shel halachim. Vegetable soup might not be a problem bishul akum because you can eat the vegetables raw and you can eat the water raw. Right? But if you make a vegetable soup out of some vegetable you can't eat raw, then what would be a problem? Soup is a chashuv food. But the soup must just go with the soup. They're not chashuv in and of themselves. Therefore, there's no problem, right? But not an ingredient or addition or garnish, what's the word? For a course. Ingredients such as sugar and oil, and a garnish such as salad dressing or soup nuts. So the OU will give an OU to soup nuts, even though you cook them, because it's not olah shel halachim. If it's olah shel halachim, min hastam, they serve soup nuts. I don't know, do they? I think so. I never checked in the chassid. Do they serve soup nuts for chassid? Let's say they would. But the soup nut is not chashiv. It just goes on something, goes in something chashiv. And therefore, that doesn't count. It's not part of the soup. It's just something you add to the soup. And therefore, that's not chashiv enough to be called the zero bishalachim.
Where does that coffee come into
play? Aha, coffee is a great question. Min hastam, coffee is olah shel halachim, right? They serve coffee to weddings, but they serve coffee at the White House also, right? Right, if you're Israeli, I think, I don't know if they serve coffee in the Prime Minister's residence because it doesn't come in deposit bottles. Okay. Forget it. When I teach Israelis, I'll make jokes about politics. Anyway, so coffee, we'll get back to in a second, but coffee so far seems like it could be a problem. Coffee is taka or shokum lachem. It's very chashiv. Super chashiv, especially the way you said it. Super chashiv coffee, right? So coffee, not so chashiv. We'll come back to it in a moment.
And your first date. Clearly,
that's even more. Okay, so Elon's cheating here. He said, the reason coffee's mutter is because it's all water, and water is drinkable raw. And we'll see in the next fifth that you have to, that whatever's the ikker, if the ikker is edible raw, then it's mutter. You're right, coffee and mutter for another reason, but not for this reason. Now, let's just go through one or two other discussions, which come up in, here's the tough discussion. Here is the big machlokas that comes up a lot nowadays. Yeah?
You said about tuna fish is the machlokas are probably not all of them often, but tuna steak would be. Are we going according to the dish of the food?
Okay. So here's the big issue. Do we go by the dish of the food? You should know, every 20 years they make a new bruja about potato chips. Every 20 years someone comes up and says all potato chips are great. Because they're all cooked by goyim, because it's not all of them. He says they are all of them, they're potatoes. Potatoes are olah shel halachim. So this is the big machlokas. Do you go by the type of food or by the food itself? So here, if anyone has a full shulchan aruch and kufya beis, you go back to kufya beis, and we learn two things. The main raya, this is the machlokas, but the psak is very clear, is from the beginning of kufya beis. Pas akum says, the Isser of Pas Akum only applies to grain bread. But rice bread is no problem, because that's not bread in Halacha, right? Okay. The Ramah says, hold up, rice bread is not Pas Akum, but isn't it Bishul Akum, right? Meaning, if you make bread out of rice, that's not a Pas, it's a Bishul. So says the Ramah, the guy who knows him should be Shuli over the Chavim, he may know Olo Shul Halacha. Rice bread is no problem, Bishul Akum, if the kings won't eat it. Oh, the kings eat rice, right? So what we see from this Ramah, the Shas says there are a little disagree, but anyone pass like the Ramah? First Ramah in the second volume of my old-fashioned Shulchan Aruch Yerushalayim, first Ramah in the Kufya Beis, First of all, Hilchos Matzli Achum says, rice bread is not Olah Shochem Lachem's mutter. All the rice is Olah Shochem Lachem. What does that prove? That proves that you don't go by the type of food. You go by the food itself. If you cook the rice to make rice, then it's Olah Shochem Lachem. If you make it into bread, it's obviously very inferior bread. That's why human beings have generally eaten wheat bread for the last couple thousand years, right? Because rice doesn't make good bread. Because you're in China where they all eat rice. They don't eat a lot of rice bread. I think they just eat more rice because rice doesn't make good bread. And therefore, see, you go by the specific type of food. There's some people who are going to question it based on Ramah a little later in Kofi Beis, who says if you make a big egg schmear on your challah, that's a problem of bishalakov. Say, but an egg schmear is not olal shochem alachim. So that shows that because eggs are usher, but that's a very weak raya. It's posh. No, the egg schmear is olal shochem alachim when it's on bread. That makes a very kosher of bakery good. Because it's not something else you add onto the bread. It's an intrinsic part of the bread. Besides that, the tuffles of bread that the lot is both a pass. Anyway, yesh lazon, but the mainstream is clear for what the Ramah says about rice bread, that you don't go by rice, you go by the specific product. And that's what's accepted by all the poskim. You don't go by the type, you go by the specific product. So for example, Rice Krispies, even though rice is olah shochem lachem, everyone agrees Rice Krispies is not a problem of bishul akum. Even though kneid lach are olah shochem lachem and are made of wheat, and bread is olah shochem lachem is made of wheat, Wheaties, everyone agrees it's not a problem with Shalachim, because it doesn't go on Shulchan Melachim, and etc. I think everyone agrees also, even though corn is Olah Shulchan Melachim, forget about whether or not it's even brought up, corn chips are not Olah Shulchan Melachim. Where does the Machlokas come in? The Machlokas comes in, it's like, where to draw the line exactly. Because on the other hand, we don't say, well, this is a really good steak, and this is a mediocre steak. This is really top quality fish, and this is, not as good quality fish. A bucky, I'm not a bucky. Sure, some fancy chef from the Four Seasons or whatever. Isn't that the fanciest restaurant in the world? In New York? Not as kosher, I think, no? Whatever it is. A fancy chef from Prime Grill, right, can tell you, this is the steak I would serve the king, this is the steak I wouldn't. We don't say what's a little better, what's a little worse. That kind of chiluk, because I clearly weren't talking, that you should have a chef judge everything, whether this is the top of the line or whether this is regular food. No. The question is, of course, we reach for the line. So, for example, potato chips. There are some people who want to say, potato chips are awesome, because they're just thin potatoes, and potatoes go on the king's table. But we say, no, come on, everyone knows potato chips are different from potatoes. Don't just tell me potato chips are a thin potato. It's clearly a different onion than potatoes. And that's part of what comes up in tuna fish as well. Tuna steak and tuna fish. Maybe tuna fish is just a tuna steak that's cooked instead of broiled. And maybe that's not enough of a difference, and maybe it's really olah shochem lachem. But the mainstream post, and there are yesh bachrim kas, the mainstream post is saying, no, tuna cooked in a can is a very different food than tuna grilled on a grill. They're two totally different foods. One is olah shochem lachem, one isn't. So there's always going to be a gray area where you draw the line, but the mainstream psak is that you don't go clear from the Ramah, right? What if the min is oleh, but not this tavshil, right? So the answer is alpi the Ramah. Reish, Simon, Kofir, Bains, we say that is mutter. Okay, and then sometimes it gets tricky where to draw the line, but to me it's intuitive that tuna fish in a can is totally different than a tuna steak. One is cooked and one is broiled. Two totally different ways of making things. And potato chips are very different than potatoes on the side dish, on the side of your plate at a chasana. Because a potato chip is very different than a potato. Okay. You'll tell me, but a really expensive steak. No, that's the same as a cheap steak. If I go and it looks like a steak, I don't care that one cost $8 a pound and one cost $50 a pound. That steak is a steak. So you have to know where to draw the line. And there's a lot of debate. If you want, Vital, I can give you an internal document from the OU where Rebelsky wrote up, based on the whole discussion of meat, is all meat the same? And Rebelsky wrote many proofs that no one really meant that just because that all kinds of meat are the same. No, all steaks are the same. All kinds of meat are not the same. That's
not a quirk of anything.
And what he really meant is just that quirk of one happens to be chashuv. Not that because the steak is chashuv.
But the game's the pre-chashuv explicitly. No?
What?
But the game's the pre-chashuv.
I don't know. Okay. Here, you can look at it and give it back to me. Okay? Here you go. Give it back to me after you don't have to read it during shiur. As a matter of fact, let's remove it right now. Okay, Viper, we got to get moving. Anyway, so these are some of the big issues when it comes to Ola al Shulchan Malachim. If you want, I can give you to read an article from the RGJ Journal, some rabbi 20 years ago who wanted to ask for all potato chips, and he even went to all the Dolem, and if he asked the questions right, you can get the answer you want. And then there's a response in that piece, maybe, from Ardelsky, who explains that, if you ask the questions, you can get any answer you want. That's not really what the Gedolim meant. Anyway, Lamaisa, we all need potato chips that are cooked by Goyim. And that makes common sense. Viking. That's as far as Olah Shulchan Malachim. But again, I've seen people, like Balvata, maybe, not necessarily Poskim, who want to, say, Pasa's not Olah Shulchan Malachim, this is not Olah Shulchan Malachim, that's not Olah Shulchan Malachim, that's not true. Here's one very important thing. However, if it needs garnishes for Shulchan Malachim, then it's usher even plain. Like, for example, let's say I make plain pasta. I cook a pot of pasta. That's not Olah Shulchan Malachim, because for Shulchan Malachim, we wouldn't serve plain pasta. We would, dress it up with fancy things. That's called Olah Shulchan Malachim. The fact that on the Shulchan Malachim I would dress it up and garnish it doesn't make it not Olah Shulchan Malachim. So don't be one of those people who thinks you can say pasta is not Olah Shulchan Malachim, because they wouldn't eat plain pasta. They would eat a pasta dish and they would sprinkle herbs on it and this and that and dressings and whatever. No, that's Olah Shulchan Malachim. The fact that they also garnish it doesn't mean it's not Olah. It just means that they dress it up. So just because it's not dressed up doesn't mean it's mutter. Anything that's fundamentally Olah Shulchan Malachim is Asr. Okay, let us move on then to the discussion of Nechal Tamot Shulchai. How about Nechal Tamot Shulchai? There are a number of details that affect this world. You should know, you'd be surprised how many things are actually Mutzer, they're Nechal Tamot Shulchai. A lot of things are made from products that are Nechal Tamot Shulchai. Like, for example, ketchup, if we want to be optimistic, is made of tomatoes, right? So ketchup can be cooked by Goyim because tomatoes are Nechal Tamot Shulchai. And you know what? If it's not made of tomatoes, it's made mostly of sugar. And sugar is usually also Nechal Tamot Shulchai. It all depends what they derive the sugar from. Sugar from sugar canes, you can eat. Sugar canes are delicious raw. I'm not saying whether they're healthy or not. But sugar comes from things you can eat raw. I mean, just think about it. Sugar only comes from things that are very, very sweet. Things that are very sweet, usually you can eat them raw. So that's not a problem. Corn, we assume is Nechal Tamot Shulchai. Fresh corn is anyone ever eat fresh corn raw?
Yeah.
Oh, delicious. Is it not delicious? Yeah. Now again, it could be 2,000 years ago the corn was not as sweet because they bred it to be sweeter. No, old-fashioned techniques, not like GMOs. You know, they just find the sweetest corn and plant a lot of that, and then next generation find the sweetest corn and plant a lot of it. So all the corn grown for humans nowadays is very sweet, and it's delicious raw. So anything which is made mostly of corn, which a lot of things, is also Nechal Kamot Shulchai. So a lot of things are made of ingredients that are Nechal Kamot Shulchai. And therefore, there's no problem of Bishul Akron. Just to give you some examples of things that are edible raw, and therefore it's no problem if the goyim cook them. So an example would be, let's say, almond milk. Right? They make almond milk in a goyish factory. Almonds are edible raw. So they might be better if sometimes you get them roasted or whatever, but they're perfectly edible raw, so that's no problem. Applesauce is made of apples. Everyone knows apples are edible raw. A lot of sugar is made from beets, and the sweet beets are edible raw. For example, butter. Going to cook butter, no problem. Butter's made of milk. Milk is edible raw. The going to cook milk. That's an example in ours. Cheese is made of something edible raw. So all these things, like a lot of things we buy in cans, are also edible. Are also edible raw. You know, string or not in cans. You go and cook string beans, no problem. You can eat raw string beans. So a lot of things are, not everything, but a lot of things are edible raw carrots, things made of carrots. Everyone knows you can eat raw carrots, the Goikos Timis. You can eat raw carrots. So a lot of things are edible raw. A lot of soups are edible raw. Not all. But if someone makes mushroom soup, mushrooms are edible raw. So it's not a, it's not a problem of bishlakim. Okay, we get the basic idea. Not everything, but a lot of things are edible raw. Like a lot of jams and jellies are cooked. I think you have to cook them. But they're generally made of fruits that are edible. I think all jams and jellies are made of fruits that are edible raw. So those are all examples of things that are not a problem. Macaroon, for example, just end with macaroon. What's the main ingredient of macaroon?
Coconut.
So, traditionally, and everyone else can eat a raw coconut, right? So, for example, all those things are not a problem. Yes,
Yo. Can we say raw before bishul or before klisha?
Good question. Okay, so a lot of these things are going to be spread throughout the simon. So let's ask a few questions about edible raw. So, for example, what if, let's start with doing, what if it's edible raw after pickling or salting? Right? It's mefuris later on in the simon. You'll trust me later on in the simon. We'll see it this week. So what if it's edible only after malicha or kvisha? Right? Like what's an example of something edible only after malicha or kvisha?
Olive.
Right? You should know raw olive. You've never eaten a raw olive. Right? The raw olives from the trees are disgusting and inedible. The olives we eat are not cooked, but they are... They're kavush and maliach. They're pickled. They're kavush. So that's a classic example.
Is that like fish?
So fish is a great question. Is fish edible raw? So let me come back to that in a moment. Anyway, what if they're edible only after lichu kvishas? This is mefurish. Faithfully mefurish in the Gemara. Okay, I'm not going to the Gemara's down. There's some machlokes exactly what the day is holding the Amorah and Mar. But the maskam is mefurish in the Gemara. And the first leave in the Shulchan Aruch, the answer is that if it's salted, pickled, and then cooked, it's mutter. If it's just cooked, it's usher, which actually makes perfect sense. Meaning, if it's edible raw with pickling, then it depends if you pickled it. If you pickled the olives and then cook them, then it's mutter. Because by the time you cook them, they were edible raw. But if you skip the pickling and just cook them, then they're usher because they weren't edible raw. So if something is edible raw through chemical processing, then it depends if you did the chemical processing, you turned it into something edible raw. If you didn't do the chemical processing, the fact that it was theoretically edible raw with chemical processing doesn't help you. It's not just theoretically edible raw if you were pickled. It has to be actually edible raw. So then it depends. If there are two cooked olives, one was pickled and then cooked, and one was just cooked, one of them is kosher and one of them is treif. That's the answer to your question, Yoni. Some other questions come up, for example, is how about the Shulchan Aruch? This comes up a lot. Irev davar nechol kol shulchayim some furish gemara in davar she'enu nechol kol shulchayim mishlem ha'ovikot in Shulchan Aruch base. Okay, we have to come back to some other things, but... What if you mix different ingredients? One is nechol chayim, one isn't. Then you go by the ikker, and the Gemara says you go by the same ikker as in Hilchos Brachos. Should we turn on the AC, by the way?
Yeah.
Let's move this, please.
Given the door, it'll be colder.
Okay, we're both right. What if you mix ingredients? A lot of things are made of mixed ingredients. The answer is you go by the ikker, but which ikker? Before somewhere, you go by the brachos ikker. So, for example, if you would mix, this is the example in the Gemara. If you would make, here's a great example, carrot muffins. I'm not sure about this, the recipe for carrot muffins. So let's make up. You know, carrot muffins are made with more carrots, three parts carrots and one part flour. Okay, what bracha do you make on the carrot muffins? Mizonos, because there's a rule that mizonos is the ikker. Carrot muffins might be a baked good, whatever. Okay, let's pick, maybe I should have picked a slightly different example. But then that would be considered inedible raw, because the ikker is what you make the bracha on. So by ikar, we don't go by the majority of molecules. We go by what you make the bracha on. So what if you have a combination? What if you have two ingredients or more? The answer is you follow the ikar. So here's a great example. How about licorice? What are the two main ingredients in licorice?
Flour.
Flour and?
Like the root
sugar. No. There's, first of all, most licorice, not licorice flavors, has none of the root. Even the one that is licorice flavored has only a tiny bit of flour and
sugar.
Flour and sugar. Here's interesting. So, if the main ingredient is flour, then it's nechel kol shulchai. Side effect doesn't go on the king's table. I'm just talking theoretically. What's the main ingredient in licorice? Flour or sugar?
Sugar.
Sugar. It's shahakal. Why? Because the flour is only to get the sugar to stick. So, whatever brush you make, that's what we go by. But for ikar and tuffel, it is machlokas, but there's a mainstream in that machlokas. Meaning, it's not an even machlokas. I think it's a clear mainstream of shahakal on the
Grishin. Would that depend?
Yeah. In either way, it's not a whole sort of machlokas that it would affect this. Correct. Anyway, halachah might say you go by the ikar. That's exactly what the Shulchan Aruch just says. Now that gets back to coffee. Look at the Gilui Marsha and then Ilan. Look at the first Gilui Marsha here, Dini B'Shul Yaakov. Shtiyas Kafe B'Kafihagzer. I think Koffenheiser means coffee house. Kasta the Chuvah's Mer Asek, Shemin, Etzimin, etc. Sha'ach min kedushim butter, even for the Mahadrin, it's butter. Mutter to go to a coffee house and drink coffee in your local coffee house. Why? Because they never put in treif in here, and then, etc. Okay, he said, there's no bishlach in coffee. Why is there no bishlach in coffee? Why is there no, I didn't look up that she was very sick. Shabbat Kaddish, many others say, there's no Bishul Akum in coffee because where does coffee grow? On a tree. So do you make Haitz on coffee?
But
no, we make Shahakal on coffee because the ikar is the water.
But that's because the fruit is brown from the tree, not because it's mainly water.
There's no.
You can tie now, I'm saying.
No, it's because we don't eat the actual coffee. We just get a pound of it into the water.
But even if you were eating actual coffee, ground fruit, do you also make shahakal on?
Not so possible.
Why
does
it make shahakal?
What?
Why do you think coffee makes shahakal? Why don't you take on a dinner plate?
Okay, that's a great question, and I'm not going to answer it now because it's a very complicated. So yet, ad hayom hazeh. This is super duper controversial. You could take two English of the bracha books off the shelf in our base matters and find totally different understandings in the sugya, maybe Rashbam, whatever. We're not getting into it now. Okay, I'm sorry. It's a very hard sugya. It's a very hard sugya. And it's been a custom, You have one shita that's only made shlokos if you also eat the vegetables, one shita that's only made shlokos if you don't also eat the vegetables, and it's just a big mess. You don't even want to come to my house and have soup. Trust me. Stay away on soup days. You follow the ikar. And that's why we assume there's no problem with bishlach on coffee, even though it's olos shochem lachem, because the ikar is the water, and therefore water is edible raw, and therefore it's mutter. So for example, coffee is mutter. And now I haven't checked the ingredients of everything in the world, but I'm sure there are many other things where they might make a concoction of different ingredients, but if you put all the ingredients together, I mean, here's just, I guess, an example, the opposite direction, potato kugel. What does potato kugel have in it? Potatoes, and some of the things you add in is edible raw. But clearly, ikar is potatoes, and potatoes are not edible raw. So potato kugel tackles a big problem. Go and cook some potato kugel straight. It's not edible raw, even though you'll say, well, I put in the onions are edible raw, and I put in the salt is edible raw, and I put in the pepper is edible raw. It doesn't matter. The ikar is clearly the potatoes. Okay, that was even too obvious an example. Okay, so, but coffee is big enough for you to be mutter. Interestingly, the parentheses here adds, in his days they probably drank their coffee black. Nowadays, they put milk in it, you have all kinds of shilas about the milk. Okay, we're not getting into that now. That's for another second. Continuing, the second Gilui Marsha says, She'enu nachal shulchai, onions. Are onions nachal kamot shulchai?
Kind of.
Yeah. Can you eat a raw onion?
Yeah.
I mean, not like a whole thing, right? But you put a slice of raw onion in everything, right? Meaning, we eat raw onions all the time. We just slice them and eat them together with other things. So is that called edible raw or not? When an onion is cooked, I could just gobble it up. But we clearly eat raw onions, so says the second Gilgamesh Marsha, afilom davar acher nechos mozangvil, even something like ginger, which is edible raw, only together with a lot of other things. Right? You wouldn't eat a piece of ginger, but you would put it in a sandwich. So anything you would put in a sandwich, and lechem melech shari. Okay, onions are now we've mastered a good cooked onion soup. A guy cooked onion soup. Onion soup, I think, is a lo shechem lachem. It's a fancy soup. Or a guy, roasted onions. I think roasted onions go on shechem lachem. Are onions edible raw? The answer is they are. They're not edible raw straight, but they're edible raw together with other things in a sandwich, and that's good enough. As opposed to things which are not edible raw even in a sandwich, right? Steak is not edible raw even in a sandwich. I don't mean if someone like makes a bet with you. I mean like normally, right? But everyone wants raw onions in their sandwich. No one wants raw chicken in their sandwich. And therefore, onions are edible raw, even though you only put them in a sandwich. That's the second Gilyon Maharsha. So what about edible raw? As a small part of a sandwich, obviously sandwich is batavka. The answer is mutter. That's the Gilyon Maharsha. The second Gilyon Maharsha goes on to say, what if, same question, go by the species or by the item? Sometimes in the same species, some of them are edible raw, some aren't. It depends how ripe it is, etc. He's discussing here the discussion of, he quotes someone who discusses pears. If the pears are unripe, they're not edible raw. If they're ripe, they're edible raw. So what if you have an unripe pear? Do you say it's not edible raw? Or do you say, no, pears in general are edible raw? So you go by the species or by the specimen? Right? Good word? Species or specimen? Tell your proof?
Yeah.
Great. Okay, so here the Gilyon Maharsha says, go by the species. And he's nizchak in few gemaras. All the achronim disagree with the Gilyon Maharsha. If you don't believe me, you could look in the Badei HaShulchan. It's not Badei HaShulchan, but his son, he went through Kafir Aleph. His son continued a little. Anyways, how about if the species is edible raw, but the specimen isn't, then the Gilyon Maharsha says mutter. Nope, the species is edible raw, but the other achronim say usser, and we paskin like the other achronim, and really shot me. The Gemara says, oh, there are, he's very nizchak. The Gemara actually is mechalik between the big almonds and the small almonds, and he said, oh, that means different species. That's not the pashtushat. Pashtushat means different specimens. So he's dachot. We reject him. We say that is usher. What else do we have to talk about in terms of edible raw? Oh, a big discussion later, but we're not going to pass it now because we have to say something for the end of the... is what about this very common nechal chai al yedei hatchak? What if it's edible raw, but barely edible raw, not normally edible raw, not like not like onion, which once sliced in a sandwich is delicious raw, not like apples and corn, which are delicious raw, like an egg, you can drink raw, you're like pasta. Right? Sometimes weird kids eat raw pasta. By the way, you know that here's an interesting trick question. When the OU gives an OU on pasta, do they require a Jew to cook it in the factory or do they let a guy cook it in the factory? What's the answer? The answer is neither. No one cooks it in the factory. When you buy pasta in the supermarket, it is raw, it is not cooked at all. How did it get that shape? It is totally raw. It is not cooked at all. 0% cooked. And whether it's kosher or not depends who cooks it at home, right? How do they get that shape? They grind up the wheat into flour. They mix the flour with water, put it in a mold to make a shape, and just let it dry. And it dries into that shape, but it's still totally raw. So that's why there's no shilas in the factory for bishul akama pasta because it's not cooked yet. The shilas is the restaurant or the home bishul akama pasta. But, for example, do some people eat raw pasta? Yes, but I'll eat it as hot. Do some people eat raw challah dough? Yes, but al yedei hatchak. Yes, but al yedei hatchak. So what eggs? The chazans, right? Don't the chazans drink raw eggs? Do you ever drink raw eggs?
I
Bodybuilders drink raw eggs? But that's like damn cock. Because it coats their throat. It makes their voice not makes them not get hoarse. Right? It's like oiling your bicycle. Right? The what?
I feel like I'm a different generation.
You are a little in these things. You have a little bit more of your pee in the soda than most of us. But anyway, and opera singers also. They probably still can cry. Whatever it is. Okay. Anyway, Viking. The Italian opera singers drink olive oil, and the Ashkenazic opera singers on Pesach eat eggs. Yeah.
Something like steak tartare, which is like raw meat, but it's not raw meat.
So I think that's how you damn cock. You know, if most people wouldn't do it.
Not, kind of
yes, but most people wouldn't eat it. I think that's still you damn cock. Now, here's back to the sushi question. I remember when I was in Smicha, I would argue with Reganak every day about whether fish is Necho Kochuchai or not, right? That's the days when people who weren't Japanese just invented sushi, just discovered sushi, so it wasn't so much for some yet. Mostly arguing about politics, because he's one of the starkest Democrats I ever met. And back in those days, I was a little bit of a stark Republican. I can tell you a story if I want to be. Can we pause this? No? Okay, forget it. I'll remind you later. Anyway,
you shouldn't record if this is the consequence.
Later. Remind me afterwards. I'll tell you the story of how I lost an argument with Ergenak before it started. Anyway, so how about with sushi? My understanding of sushi is that it goes back to deep. Meaning, just because they make tuna sushi doesn't mean you could eat all tuna raw. They have to, like, keep it as a certain quality and keep it in a certain way, in a certain freshness, etc. Like real sushi, which is, you know, raw fish. Only very, very specific kind of fish is edible raw in sushi. You can't just buy any raw fish. You can't buy any raw fish from the supermarket and make sushi out of it, right? That's not proper. You have to have a very not just a species. You have to have the right piece. It has to be the right freshness and treated the right way, etc. I don't know all the chachma. So I think that's why. Also, even though you eat fish raw in sushi, you don't eat all fish raw in sushi. This piece of fish you couldn't have eaten raw in sushi. A different piece of fish you could eat raw in sushi, but not this piece of fish. So this is the species. Some of the sushi is edible raw, but this piece isn't. If you go to a restaurant, you get fish. That fish was not edible raw. That's not sushi grade fish. In which case, then we would say that's usher. So you can't just go to a restaurant and have a goy. Some people do this. They go to a restaurant in the chutzlaritz, and you know, people who are like, you know, makra and kashrus, but not super duper. And they say, okay, just tell them to double wrap a fish and put it on the put it in the oven for me. That's improper because it's a problem bishul akov. Because this piece of fish wasn't edible raw. I don't care that a different piece of fish is edible raw. This piece wasn't edible raw. Then it has no heter of nechal kamochu chai. So that is still a problem.
Species specimen the same as fish versus.
No, because they're two different, not areas of halacha, but they're two different gedarim, and you don't have the same answer. Okay, right. Just let me check what else I wanted to mention here. Okay, that's enough for now. Let us now continue. Before we continue where we were, though, I want to add two things to this list of potential exceptions. One thing, which we're going to encounter shortly, which I'll just point out, from Simon Cook Yud Beis, right? So where is this? This is Se'if Aleph, right? And this is also Se'if Aleph. From Simon Cook Yud Beis, what's another exception that has no Isser Bishul Akdom? Oh, you know, it has a different set of rules. What's if Tim Kofi Beis Vel? Pas Akum. Pas is not Bishol. Pas is not Bishol. Pas has different rules than Bishol. Pas Akum is one simon and Bishol Akum is a different simon. And why do I make an exception? Because Pas has more Makel rules than Bishol. In almost all ways. Right? The only thing we're master is that Pas Akum, that's not Ulof Shochem Alochem, is so shy as to be a sir. But generally, what's the famous, we all know this, what's the famous heter we have when it comes to pas? pot palter, right? The Gemara has a discussion. It's not clear from the Gemara
what the Maskana is, or if anything, it's clear the other way.
But the Minhag Olam of Ashkenazim, and now the Sephardim, is that Chazal were mater pot palter. Palter meaning a bakery as opposed to a friend.
Why are they mater the bread of the bakery? Well, I understand. Because not so much hot, it's not chastas if you buy bread from the bakery. Right? Chastas is you get bread at your friend's house. The bakery is business. He has 1,000 customers. You don't intermarry with the guy whose store you shop at. So then why are they mater pot palter and not pot shiloh palter?
There's no option on pot.
Because pot is high in nefesh. You need bread to live in the old days. You're not talking about nowadays. In the old days, keep in mind, the way they ate in the old days, right, as you would see from Hilchos Brachos and Sudas, etc., is that bread was how you lived, and everything else was a luxury. Right? Proof in the Chumash. That, from the perspective of physicality, you live on bread.
You don't live on bread, you live on Hashem. Okay, but that means from a physical perspective, you live on bread. It's a religious, philosophical idea that it's not only bread. But if you don't do philosophy, then you live on bread. Right? So therefore, you couldn't live without bread, so they were mako, and the Gemara, it's not clear if they were mako.
But all the Rishonim assume they were mako and pot palter. So pot palter, nowadays, if you would learn some cooking base, you would see that there are those who are makir even nowadays, right? Even in America. You go to the kosher stores, you see something like the pot Yisrael. There are those who are makir and pot Yisrael. The minhag olam is to be mako, that pot palter is mutter. Now, it doesn't mean the goy, your goy's neighbor can bake you bread. Your goy's neighbor bakes you bread, that's chazer tree. Not chazer tree, you're a bonnet tree. But you can buy bread in the supermarket. We all owe you bread in the supermarket. ShopRite bread, Wonder bread, whatever it may be, Arnold's, whatever it may be, that has hashkas on it. Hashkas just means kosher ingredients. It's baked by the noise. The pot counter is okay. Or when I was a kid, there's a bagel store. There's a bagel store around the corner from my house. Bagels are notorious for being made for not having trace ingredients. It's very hard to put trace ingredients into a bagel. So what happens is, luckily, there's a Goyish bagel store. It would be the Jewish bagel store. Then it gets trickier to open on Shabbos, etc. The Goyish bagel store. Goyim are allowed to work on Shabbos. So the rabbi, the local shul, checked out the bagel store and made visits once in a while and gave a private local hashtacha to all the people in the shul and all the people not in the shul also if they wanted to the bagel store. And we didn't have to worry about Shabbos. You know, as long as we waited a few minutes after Shabbos ended, there was no problem. So in that bagel store, There's one guy who worked there, and he was a guy. There were no Jews there. So the guy baked the bagels, and that's no problem. So there's pas palter, the minhag olam is b'mako, except for those who are master in this realm. But the halacha is b'mako pas palter. So therefore, when it comes to pas, there's no problem of bishul akum during a seris tumei tshuva. Many people have the minhag. The Shulchan Aruch suggests to be master on pas palter. But for the other 355 and 400 days a year, and one of the days of Sheresh Mitzvah doesn't really count so much anyway. You have bigger problems if you ate pot palter on that day. But one and a half, right? So it's only 85% of the Sheresh Mitzvah. We're nimna for pot palter. But the other 300 and, you have to subtract whatever it is, however it works out. I think you subtract all the days, the other 352 and three quarters days a year. No problem with pot palter, according to the standard din. So therefore, that's no problem. The OU doesn't have to have mashgiach turn on the fire, turn on the oven. In the bread factory, because that is pot. Now, watch out for the pot. Here, a lot of people make a mistake. The rule, general rule is, everything that's not pot is tavshil. What counts as pot? What counts as pot for all halachic purposes? A lot of people don't realize this. Pot above the kismin is pot. It might not always be a motzi, but it's pas for all halachic purposes. What are the halachic nafkaminas being pas? Number one, it's pas akum, not bishul akum, which means it's a heter of palter. What's the other nafkamina being pas? You have to make a motzi if you're kovei suda. And pas is chayav in challah, right? Pas above the kitzen is chayav in challah. You should know if cookies and cake and pretzels are chayav in challah. Why did you not see your mother or your wife ever take challah off of cake? Because there's a quantitative difference. When you make bread, you use a lot of flour. When you make cake, you use a little flour. So your wife might never have made enough cake to be chayav in challah, just because that would be a lot of cakes, because you put in so many other ingredients. But
theoretically, if she were making not cake but pretzels.
If she's making not cake but pretzels, which I think have a lot more flour in them, or cookies, which have a lot of flour in them, you make a ton of them, then it would be kind of in challah.
Factories.
If you have Jewish factories that make cake and cookies, then they should be chayiv in challah. How do they work it out? The same way they work out in bread factories, I assume. Max, remember, did Max Cakes still sell here?
It's not selling.
Remember Max Cakes?
Yeah.
Max Cakes, if you look at his, he put up a sign once with his, like, policies, whatever, he takes challah from all his cakes. Why does Max take challah from all his cakes? Because he makes tremendous quantities. And tremendous quantities might be chayiv in challah. Okay, it still gets very tricky because he doesn't make the tremendous quantities at once. But since he puts them all in the same truck, it might be chayiv in challah, so he takes off challah. We do that on very rare occasions. Whenever my wife bakes a kiddush, we've discovered that baking at home is never a shir challah, but baking a kiddush ends up usually being a shir challah. So whenever we make a kiddush, my wife bakes an entire kiddush for a whole community, we always take challah off without a bracha, because you get the sfeikos, whether it's really mitzvah or not, because you can't put them all in the same bowl. But you can put them all in the same car, you can put them all in the same this, okay. So anyway, no mitzvah, without getting into it. Anyway, pop powder, even Bubba Kistin. So that's the point, even pop Bubba Kistin. So for example, what does that mean? That means that cookies and pretzels can get an OU even if Goyim bake them. Because they're pots. However, what's not pots? What's not pots that's mazonos that's not pots?
Pasta.
Pasta, anything that's cooked instead of baked is not pots. So, for example, pasta is a tavshel, not pots. Which means, A, there's no chiyuv challah. Truth is, it gets complicated. We're not going to get into it now. No chiyuv challah. The ikra did no chiyuv challah. Okay, so machlokas rishonim, you might recall from the Mishnayos challah. If you've been to Tom, the other rishonim. There's me'ikr denochiv challah and pasta. No matter how much pasta you eat, you don't wash and say a motzi and bench. And it's not pas, akum it's bishul akum, which means that it's a problem. There's no heter palter by pasta. So pasta, for example, what would be another example? Sufganiyot. Sufganiyot are deep fried. Deep frying is like cooking in halacha. So sufganiyot me'ikr denochiv challah. Okay, chumras. It's preferable to be machmir ikur din not chayiv chala. No matter how many sukkaniyot you eat, me ikur din, you don't wash and say motzi and bench. And there's no problem of, it's not patakim sukkaniyot, it's bishalakim sukkaniyot. Okay, lamaisar sukkaniyot, ola shulcha malachim. What? Are Dunkin' Donuts all El Shulchan Malachim?
Yeah.
I'm not convinced. That's why I say sufganiyot. Sufganiyot are deep fried. Some kinds of donuts are baked. That's a big enough gemina, by the way. I have a friend who, when he was younger and single, or before his wife figured it out, used to just buy a box of donuts and eat them for lunch. And to big enough to mean it, you have to know how to make the donuts, right? If the donuts are deep fried, then it's mazonos alamichya. Although, again, ayin sechav challah, maybe it's better to wash on bread, whatever the ikra is. If the donuts are baked, then it's nitilus v'ayim hamotzi and birkas avatam. So you have to know how to make the donuts. Not all donuts are made the same. I haven't checked that old company. In the end, his friend's wife realized what he was doing and strictly forbade him from continuing that minhag. And since then, he didn't tell me things.
Aren't bagels boiled?
And baked. And the baking is the ikar. Yeah, they're boiled and baked. They're boiled first and baked second, if I recall correctly. Unlike the chavite kohen gadol, which was had three stages, bagels are halfway. There are two stages, but bagels are halfway to gula. Because most things are only baked, bagels are boiled and baked, and the chavite kohen gadol are baked, boiled, and baked. So the baking is the ikar, and that's why donuts are hamotzi. Okay, right. So that's a big kula. Another possible kula is what the shach quotes is cut an aleph. The gemara has a havam. Nishana al yidei or, does it have to look different? Some things, they don't look different when you cook them. Give me an example of something that looks the same after you cook it.
Sweet
Sweet potato, right? So a raw sweet potato, obviously nothing exactly the same, but a raw sweet potato, sweet potatoes are not edible raw, right? Or even a regular potato, a baked potato. It looks the same. It's not a shtana olio or it's not different. It looks the same. It's the same tzura. But before you couldn't eat it, now you can eat it. So what if it's not nishtana, not like chicken? Raw chicken and cooked chicken are totally different, look much more different. But there are some things that look the same. A potato. It looks, you know, sometimes you can't even tell by looking at it if it's baked or not. Mm-hmm. Right? So what if it's not nishtana olio or? Okay. The Gemara doesn't discuss potatoes. Why not?
Didn't exist yet.
It wasn't known to
European and Middle Eastern civilization. Only the Native Americans had them. Anyway, so what about its longest shana al yidei ha'or? So the Gemara's havamin is that it's mutter. That's why if they cook water, it's okay. It's not a shana al yidei ha'or, and therefore it says the shach that. The Ran is Mako, but the Rambam is Machmir. So what about Lo Nishtana Al Yidei Ha'or? What if it's fit for a king's table, and it's not bread, and it's not edible raw, but it doesn't look different after it's cooked. It looks the same. Lo Nishtana Al Yidei Ha'or. So that is a Machlokes. Says the Rambam, author. Says the Ran, Mutter, the Shulchan Aruch, since the Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring this up, that means the Asher is like the Rambam. The Shach says, theoretically, he thinks the Ran is more correct, but nonetheless, he admits the Poskim are like the Rambam, Halakha L'maaseh, we seem like the Rambam and his Asher, and therefore there's not a valid exception. Another non-valid exception, but which will take on a new life, is the famous Shita of Rabbeinu Avraham. What is the famous Shita of Rabbeinu Avraham?
We're not exactly sure this Rabbeinu Avraham is. Some people call it Rabbeinu Avraham Ben David, but a lot of people don't, so we're not sure if that's his real name. But Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Avraham in the top of Daf Lamed Ches, if I recall correctly. What does he say?
Location matters.
That if it's in Jewish house, it's mutter. And he says, Mimanashach, if the reason is intermarriage, you go to the goy's house. If the goy cooks in your house, why does that make it usher? And if you say the reason you might see your trace, that's the guy's house. If the guy cooks in your house, where's he getting a trace from? Not gonna, what, is he going to stick it into his shoe and sneak it into your house? So, no problem. So therefore, says Rabbeinu Avraham, what about the Beit Yisrael? Says Rabbeinu Avraham Mutter. Says, in Tosos here, Omer v'Ram, here it's Barab David, but people question that it's Mutter v'Lohodl Rabbeinu Tam. Says Rabbeinu Tam in the first Tosfos, not Lamed Ches, Osir, the Shulchan Aruch says Mefurash, Afiru b'Beit Yisrael, we paskin against Rabbeinu Avraham. Everyone agrees with Rabbeinu Tam, there's no Heter of Beit Yisrael. This would be a great Heter, keep in mind. Not only Beis Yisrael, a Jewish restaurant, would also be okay. All the restaurants in Yerushalayim. Okay. You know I don't mean that. I mean, most of the restaurants in Yerushalayim are owned by Jews, but the cooks are Arabs. That's the men of Yerushalayim. Right? Generally, the owner is Jewish, and the cook is an Arab, and the cooks are Arabs. For whatever reason. There's lots of logical reasons for that. So, according to Rabbeinu Avraham, no problem. There's no mishalachim in Yerushalayim. And not only that, I'm sure it's the same thing in Brooklyn. All the kosher restaurants are owned by Jews. I don't think there are a lot of goyim who have kosher restaurants in Brooklyn. But the workers are almost all goyim. So, according to Abraham, no problem. It's a Jewish house. What's doing the Jewish house and Jewish restaurant? If the Jew owns the place, and the Jew owns everything, and the Jew's in charge, then there's no problem. Great kula. But we don't talk to them like it.
There are more dollars.
Let me guess that. Hold up. I just want to point out one other thing. One other famous shita. See, and then one other famous shita. We'll get that.
What's the logic of the Ran's kula?
Well, it's a havmin in the Gemara, and he thinks the havmin is omit laskana. What's the logic? The logic would be that if it's shem chasna, then it doesn't look different, then that's not a big deal. So it's not. And certainly, it shouldn't burn tomatoes. That's obvious. It doesn't look any different. Then how can you get confused what it is? Okay, I just want to point out the famous shita called the Maritatz, which stands for Rav Yom Tov Tzahalon. Sometimes called Marit Tzahalon. The Maritatz has a famous shita's yachid, Mamashita's yachid. Rav Vaida doesn't even make a safe steak out of this. Although he does mention it in Smith Lago. The Maritatz, the famous shita that we reject, but it'll be very important to know why we reject it, or to know that it exists, because there were a Boshi and P.S. Shmua that we'll learn next time. But, let me just add this, 3.1. What about Tav Shol Palter? If we're Mekel, I know this goes against what I said before, if we're Mekel on bread of a professional bakery, a business bread, not social bread, remember, we're not Mekel on your neighbor's bread. If your neighbor cooks your bread and brings it to you, that is trace Lekulei Alma, and nothing to talk about. Nothing to talk about. If you live in Yerushalayim and you really want to have bread on Shabbos, you said, maybe I'll go to my Arab neighbor's house. Or it doesn't have to be an Arab, my Norwegian neighbor's house. And see if they baked any bread. Then it doesn't matter. It was all kosher ingredients. And even if you can't eat the bread, because it's trace, because it's social bread. But the heter pot palter. Why is there also a heter of bishul palter? We said, because bishul's not so important, so they didn't give this heter. But there's a shitas yochel maritz halom, which says it's also a heter tashul palter. Hainuach, same thing. Maritz halom says anything from a factory or a restaurant is mutter. Only things cooked by a bal vasser usser. That's a great heter. Then according to maritz halom, the OU doesn't have to worry about bishlakim at all. Anything that's under a hashgacha is not a private house, is a business. Businesses don't have bishlakim, right? So that's the shita yochel maritz halom. Says the maritz mutter. And this is a shitas yachid. No one paskins like it. But it's good to know that it exists, and we'll come back to it.
They didn't have restaurants back then to have matcha bread or atzer bread?
They didn't have. It's interesting, meaning, did they even have this? They clearly had bakers. Did they have places where they cooked food in those days? They definitely didn't have restaurants in those. Oh, hold on a second. They had inns, right? They had inns. Right? So if you stayed in that inn, that's a palter. So that's Mistama Tema. Okay, Viking. Now we have to do a little Shulchan Aruch. Yoni and then the Shulchan Aruch.
What's the exact definition of bakery or restaurant?
It's done for selling and not for personal or friends.
So
that definition of palter. Palter means selling.
Okay.
Meaning, and if a baker bakes at home for his family, that's not palter.
Right.
Means if it was made to sell, that's palter. Made to sell. In some Kofi Beis, they have very detailed discussion in the Shulchan Aruch and Nosakim about this. Okay, let's continue a little.
Ready? I'll start with Beis again. Ere davar nefekol shulchayim dov she'en nefekol shulchayim u'bishlom o'u kachotim and ikram y'davar she'en shum y'shom y'bishol akam asr y'lam mutter
that we already mentioned. Add the Ramah. U'mutter lechol afunim kluyim she'ov y'chotim. Afunim nowadays means peas. And these are, I can't guarantee it. It means definitely something like a pea, but it's some sort of like round legume like a pea. I don't know if it's exactly our kind of peas or something very similar. But you can eat those, even though the goyim toast them. Why? The chinek kidney is called an arbisin. That's probably chickpeas, arbisin Yiddish, right? Kluyim that are toasted, meaning these roasted grains of the goyim are okay. Why? They're all shulchan lachem. Do they go shulchan lachem? Do you eat roasted grains or shulchan lachem? Roasted grains are a snack food. Before they had potato chips, snack food was roasted grains, right? You toast grains and they're like crunchy snack food. That's not olah shulchan lachem, no problem. The chay not of the matter, and the minig is to be after it. In love of the shulchan machas the chay lev shulchan lachem. Except for towns where everyone knows when you roast grains, you have to put some sort of oil on the pan so they don't stick. So if they use lard, then it's traced because of the lard. So he says, in towns where they smear the pan with lard, like nowadays you go, I don't think they roast legumes, but in the city, in the winter, you have the guys roasting chestnuts, right? It's not a legume, but for our purposes, it's the same thing, right? The roasted chestnuts, right? So can you eat them or not? So he says, if the minig in New York City is to smear with lard, then you can't. If the minig is to use canola oil, you can. There's some in New York City to use canola oil. But as they says, it depends what they smear it with. Okay, continuing. But if they don't use lard, then it's mutter. The aim lachas of klinch lokum. Ah, but what about the kalim? Means there's three potential problems. Bishul akum says no problem. It's not ulo shachum lachum. It's a snack. Actual trace is only a problem in towns that use lard. But of course, towns in his days, they didn't use lard. Ah, what about the kalim? They roast them on a pan. Mestamo, once they roasted pork on that pan, right? Can't trust them if they only ate kosher their whole life on that pan. Says no problem. Distaminate b'nei yoman, as we pointed out before, right? Stam kalim l'goy is not b'nei yoman. We mentioned this in kof gimel. He quoted some in kof chav beis. So if the goyim roast the chestnuts on the street, even though Mestamo they once roasted trafe there, but it's done, not in the last 24 hours, so b'nei yoman, it's okay, so you can buy it. Continuing, the chol prish and achavot shulchai afish a bishlo so overcham nimcham nasa tasho v'dem shari yalkein ochel and hath pubid la sh'oso olichavim. Anything edible raw, even if, what might you think? You might think, something edible raw is only mutter if it's not made into a new product. No, says they're not true. Something edible raw, even if they make it into a totally different product, it's still mutter. And that's why we eat the jams of the goyim. Oh, the jam doesn't look like a strawberry anymore. So who cares if strawberries are edible raw? No, it's still mutter. As long as the ingredients are edible raw, even if they made a brand new concoction, it's still mutter as long as the ingredients is edible raw. That's why, for example, ketchup is not a problem because all the ingredients are edible raw. The main ingredients are edible raw, even though it doesn't look like them anymore. And likewise, anything made of corn, even if it doesn't look like corn anymore, you still say it's edible raw. Anything made of water, even if it doesn't look like water, you still say it's edible raw. Anything made of tomatoes, even though it doesn't look like tomatoes, still called edible raw, etc. We get the point. Okay, Sif Gimel. Sif Gimel is an important, don't get messed up by this, an important exception to base. Oh, sorry, here's a shock. Sif Kut Aleph, if you want my comments for these things. Here is Sif Aleph. And here is not any place on the dot. Okay. But if you want to know where the Marichas can be found, he could be found, if anyone actually wants to look up the Marichas, he could be found in Chumas Marichas, Simon 161, Kuf Samach Aleph. Should be on the bar lines. Yes. So we'll see. Rav Moshe answered that you're right. Really, the paltzer should be mutter by pas and paschal. But Chazal like to make a low plug. They like to make a general isser. And therefore, by paschal, they made a general isser. And by pas, they would have made a general isser, but it was too hard, so they didn't. And we'll see an afkamina of that.
To clarify, Rebbe, would you lock your roasted chestnuts in New York? Up the street?
Anyone have experience with roasted chestnuts in New York? So again, the kalim is no problem. The roasted chestnuts, I'm pretty sure they don't serve on Shulchan Aruch. Oh, I have no idea. So you have to check out what ingredients they put in. Not if they're all mutter, then it's not in our spot.
Would you ask them, like, what are you putting on these chestnuts?
I mean, you could stand and look at them and see how they make them. No secret, they're not magicians. No sleight of hand. You see what they're putting on them. No? I highly doubt they put lard on it. Come on, they buy canola oil in the shop right like everyone else. They get lard from.
They roast almonds like on these carts. They have this like thing, this machine, and like it like spins the hot thing and then roasts almonds with like sugar and stuff. I think that's also equally lesser. Meaning it's not visual.
I mean that is visual. Roasting almonds is visual, but raw almonds are edible raw.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you have to know, I'm not going to pop in right now without ever seeing it with my own eyes. You have to stand there and get someone, you know, who shops there a lot, who's seen them 20 times and seen exactly what they do. You know, if it turns out that every day there was pork and rinds and almonds, then it's a problem. It's mayoman, it's not stam. But if you say, no, this is stuff they just roast almonds all day long, you see, all they put in is almonds and sugar, then it's butter. But I can't, you know, I've never seen this in my life. I never even bought the chestnuts in Manhattan, but I'm pretty sure they sell them. But, yeah.
We had the same conversation a couple weeks ago on popcorn,
but it's not edible.
Ah, how about popcorn in the restaurants, right? So popcorn, first of all, is edible raw. Originally, it was edible raw before they dried it out, right? Corn on the cob. And it's clear that Olo Shechem Malachim. It doesn't matter. Obviously, you don't serve popcorn in Shechem Malachim, right? That's the most precious thing in the world, right? That's a no-brainer. So popcorn is not a common bishul akum. Oh, what about the kalim? The kalim aren't an yomad. Then the question is just, what do they use to, what kind of oil do they use? So once upon a time, they used lard. So you have to know what kind of oil they use. If they use canola oil, which is, now the tricky part with popcorn nowadays is in most places, they don't use any natural oil. They use a mix. Like they buy in big tubs a special flavoring mix, which is neither canola oil nor lard. It's just a mix made in a factory. So then you have to know how that mix is made in the factory. If all the factories only make kosher mixes, then you can eat popcorn in any movie theater, without getting into whether you can see movies. Let's say you just go for the popcorn, and for a Shuley Rand movie. Although actually I've discovered that if you want clean movies, almost all Iranian films are clean. And some of them are cute. They're not going to win any Oscars, but they're cute. And any movie by Shuley Rand is clean. Anyway. I was actually saying to myself, I hope the Oscars for movies. But it turns out it was okay. Kisser. So I don't know. The problem with popcorn is that you don't know. Do we live in a world where they use kosher oil or trade oil generally for popcorn? So I'm not sure. But if someone were to tell me, no. I checked all the companies that make the popcorn mix in America, and they're all kosher. Then you can eat the popcorn in a movie theater. But someone have to check that out.
If they show you their container,
then I think it's fine. Now, but maybe they're being very devious. They put something else in that container, etc.
They put other things on the machine or whatever.
No, they don't. Not a popcorn machine. Maybe one thing might have, but that's called Stomke and Love Mayoman. We can't promise you they never put trays in that machine, but not recently. Anyway, then we get into the whole question of maybe if they never stop using it, then it's Hanan and it's more of a problem, etc. But I'm not totally convinced that that's not going to be buffalo at a certain point. Anyway, Lamaisa, yeah, I think that it's not, it's probably mutter. Again, maybe all the mixes are not kosher, I have no idea. Okay, bye. Let's continue into Gimel. Gimel is an important exception to Nechal Kol Shukai Beis. Panada Shafa Ovi Kochavim. Panada is a shepherd's pie. That's what we call it now. A meat pie that a goy cooked. Asura. Afilu Mishinoi Tetra Vapashal Akum. Is usur even according to the mainstream minag that were matar pas akum, meaning of a palter, right? The palter makes a meat pie with kosher meat. Right? It's usher. Why? After all, what's the ikker? What bracha do you make on a meat pie? Hamotzi. So if the ikker is the bread, and the bread is not subject to bishul akum, then why shouldn't it be mutter? It's two ingredients, and one of them is not subject to bishul akum. So what's the problem? Problem is, they shall shuma nasar tshuba and shuma shuli akum and niv love and pach. The answer is because this is not a complete mixture. This is a mixture with two separate parts. There's the inside, and there's the dough. Problem is, when the guy cooks it, this is not beef. Beef is two ingredients, like ketchup or kugel, where they're all mushed together. Here, it's not two ingredients. It's two parts. There's the meat part and the bread part. And the answer is, as he cooks it, the bread part is mutter, and the meat part is usser. And once the bread part is mutter, and the meat part is usser, the meat part that's usser, then the juice seeps into the bread and makes the bread usser also. So if the two ingredients are separate parts, let's make ourselves a little asterisk here. If they are two separate parts, then they're both usser. Why are they both usser? Because the part that's usser becomes usser, and then it goes into the part that's mutter and makes that usser also. So then that's a problem. So meat pie, even the dough becomes a problem. Likewise, chicken soup. What if the guy cooks chicken soup? So the chicken is a problem because it's not nefokai. the carrots are fine. Those are nechol chai. But what's the problem? Since the kid, it's not that he grinds up the chicken and carrots and makes a concoction. No, no. There's chicken. There's carrots. Problem is, the chicken becomes trace of bishul akum and the carrots are kosher. But now the chicken is trace. The gravy of the chicken goes into the carrots and makes them trace also. So whenever you have two ingredients that are separate, the ingredient that has bishul akum becomes trace. And then if Tom goes and trace up the ingredient that doesn't have bishul akum, so then you have a big problem. So if a guy cooks chicken soup, you can't even eat the carrots. Because the chicken became traced as a separate piece in the Tom, and the chicken then traced up the carrots. Halacha le'maisa. Probably we'll come back to that a little later. Dalit. Okay, this is a big machlokas. Who's getting the board? Okay, this is big, big halacha le'maisa. Dalit. Big halacha le'maisa.
Yeah,
but the coffee itself is not eaten at all.
But it's not.
The difference is that difference is that, what do you say? The water doesn't become bishul akum. What about the coffee grinds? Coffee grinds are not edible raw, so maybe the coffee grinds should have an iser bishul akum. The problem is that the coffee grinds are not edible at all, so there's no iser bishul akum in them. Then neither part has an iser bishul akum. The coffee grinds are not edible. They're not even ola al shulchan aniyim. No one eats coffee grinds. There's no iser. And the water is after ocher chai. The coffee grinds are not ola al shulchan anyone. So both parts are exempt. But you're right. If it would be some different kind of concoction, theoretically, but not the coffee. Okay. Dalit is a big machlokas. What about shvachos? I'm not going to translate shvachos yet because that's part of the issue. There's a Ramban and a Rashba who discuss shvachos, right? The Ramban is quoted by the Orchos Chaim, quoted by the Beis Yosef, and the Rashba is a short Rashba. They all say short Ramban, but the short Ramban is really a short Rashba. So the Rishonim discuss this. The Ramban and the Rashba discuss this. So, Yesh Mishamata Veshvachos Shlonim, Yesh Mishosar Filu B'dieved. Okay, that's what they both say. They both say Yesh Mishamata V'yesh Mishosar Va'afilu b'di'evit. So it's machlokas whether the iser bishul akum applies to shvachos or not. Add the Ramah makes it shara. Machlokas is either totally mutter or totally usher. The Ramah himself is mechadesh isvara. It's not himself, it's basically iser hetara, but it's not a fan of the Rishonim. Says over the evidence just for the Eretirim, lechatzila were macher, but the evidence were meko. That's Rambam's pshara. That's the accepted halacha l'maisa. Shvachos lechatzila aser, but the evidence mutter. Then there are my something else. Afilu lechatzila no demahato beis yisrael. Shashvachos avodim vashon beis yisrael ki yefreshol yechta echad or yichata echad min neivayis ma'at. And then he says something else that doesn't apply to us nowadays. He says, in his days at least, even the chachila, you can have your shvachos, you can have the servants cook. Why? Because if a Jew participates in the process, it's okay. And it's impossible that a Jew not participate in the process. Meaning, a Jew is always going to participate. Why would a Jew always participate? Because he's always going to stoke the coals. Right? Anyone ever stoke the coals? Right? If you have, even in a barbecue, right? You poke the coals, then it starts burning again. But in a fireplace, right? If a fire starts going out, what do? Right? You know, poker? You know that big metal stick that's hanging in front of the fireplace?
Yeah.
Right? It's not just for, like, chasing away intruders. Right? Its original purpose was, when the fire is going down, you poke the coals, or you poke the wood and the coals or whatever, and then the fire starts burning again. That is, what does this remind us of?
Shemi
Chazim Gecholim Shehiyah, right? And Shemi Chazim Gecholim, why did Chazal make it there Shemi Chazim Gecholim? It was a thing that a lot of people would do. Right? And says the Ramah, and again, it has nothing to do with us, right? Our stoves have no Shemi Chazim Gecholim. I mean, okay, if there applies, it applies, but no Messiah. But in the days of the Ramah, everyone would, whenever you go through the house, you pass the stove or the fireplace, and everyone would pass by and give it a little poke at the poker. That's how they kept their fires going all the time. It was like a normal thing to do. Whenever you pass by, you would get a little poke. So says the Ramah, Really, it's mutter nowadays even the chaspila because you always have a Jew participating. Because a Jew is always going to poke the coals. Okay, that has nothing to do with our mitzvahs, right? We don't cook that way anymore. Let's go back to the first Ramah about shvachos. Says Ramah, shvachos are mutter. Or b'dieved. You got the board, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about these shvachos? What's the din? Yesh omrim mutter, yesh omrim aser, and says Ramah, and this is the halacha lemaisa. Aser lechatchila, because yesh osrim. The question is, what's the svara and what's the mitzias of the shvachos? What is the svara? What is the svara lahatir? So, here it depends which rishon you look in. If you look in the Orchas Chaim, what's the svara lahatir in a shifra? Because... because we're kone! Shifra means, not servant, but... slave. A slave is owned by you. You own him. Now, he wasn't necessarily talking about a full Eved Kanani. But even not a full Eved Kanani, meaning there wasn't necessarily Milu and Tfila. But you're still Moser and Shabbos Midoraisi, even not Milu and Tfila, according to Moser Shabbos. So if you own someone, the point is that that's not a guy. That's someone owned by a Jew. That's different. It's, he's not an Akum. An Eved's not an Akum. So one shot is, this is the Ramban Svara, is Eved Mamish, Umishom Shekhanoi LeYisrael. So therefore he's not an Akum. That is the first shot. Now, what's the Dokak of that shot? The Dokak of that shot is that the Ramah didn't have slaves in his days. So why would the Ramah pass him to the evidence mutter if he didn't have slaves? And the Shach says, well, if you take that Shach, this is the first shot of the Shach. The Shach has four Shach. Right? There are four Perushim in the Shach. The Dochak is that the Ramah didn't have slaves. So you have to say, he was talking about theoretically he would have slaves, but not his days. Which is a little funny, because usually he's talking about halacha l'maaseh. So why is this a little dachuk? Dachuk, because the Ramah didn't have slaves.
Sorry, where's the Iker din from? That's Ramban.
The Ramban and the Rashba discuss it.
But
they had slaves.
They had slaves also.
Yeah,
but to the extent that you need to be malam and...
Yeah. Slaves are slaves. Not bad.
You can have an Eved Kanani bin Chutlar.
Yeah. You don't need Yoli or anything. I mean, Abraham Lincoln changed it, right?
When was Jewish slavery abolished? I don't remember the word.
Yeah, each country was different. In the old days, when Jews...
If I lived in Sudan, I would like need a get shipper in
Alabama.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't recommend...
I
wouldn't recommend living in Sudan, meaning you have bigger problems. But, no, usually in the Middle Ages, whether or not Jews had slaves depends whether there was anti-Semitic legislation which forbade them from having slaves.
But today, theoretically,
how can you have a slave nowadays? No slavery in the world.
No, for sure.
Ah, because the big machlok is a poskim when you can have a halos of a kanani nowadays. Let's say a guy comes, and let's say I go to a guy and I say, I want to buy you for an eved kanani, and me lent feel in a halos of a kanani. Does that work or not? Big machlokes and poskim. Because on the one hand, it's all off the halacha. He's my Eved Kanani. It's halos Eved Kanani. On the other hand, what do you mean? We all know he's not a slave. Okay, on the third hand, doesn't stop anyone Pesach time. But doesn't stop anyone Shemitah time. Right? On the other hand, like
you know. About
right.
Kutzni, whatever.
Anyway, this is a big machlokes nowadays that you can have a halos Eved Kanani. But clearly you can't actually enslave people nowadays because, like, that's against the law. The question is, can you have a chalos even without, like, making it practical? Or no, you can't have a chalos of a kanani unless he's actually your slave. But dina machos a dina means he's not your slave.
Why the technical, like, what is the time of slavery and what is the time of slavery?
That's the machlokas. That's exactly the machlokas. Is that the Kanani just its own hagdurus has nothing to do with the economic notion of slavery, fundamentally? Or no. Every Kanani is just the Jewish rules that apply when you have an actual economic slave. Okay, big machlokas on poskim nowadays. I've heard that a lot of poskim are making and saying it's all about Kanani nowadays. The Nafmina, of course. What's the Nafmina? Right, for a mamzer, right? What if a guy is a mamzer and he wants to have kids who aren't mamzerim? So the only way for him to do that in a permissible fashion, if he marries a Jewish girl, his kids will be mamzerim, is to marry a shifta kananis, not to marry, to quote-unquote marry a shifta kananis, and then his kids are not mitziyaseis after him, so they're not mamzerim, they're just avodim kananim, and then he writes them against shefer, and they become kosher Jews. So that's a big machlokes that poskim can do that nowadays or not. I've heard a lot of people are making them, but not for us nowadays. Okay. Anyway, so we'll go. Second shot in the shach. Okay, we don't have a lot of time. Second shot in the shach is that, no, and this is what the Isser V'Heter says. Says the Isser V'Heter, no, it's really just Shitas Rabbi Avraham of Beis Yisrael. It really has nothing to do with the Shifcha. It's just, what he's really saying here is that Yesh Omer, that we're Nato in the Jewish house. Now, again, it's a little hard to say that the Mechaber, had slaves. It's easy to say shot one. It's a little harder to say shot two in the Mechaber, because Mechaber already taught the answer, Yisrael Avraham. But maybe the Ramah is based on Rabbeinu Avraham. Some people say Jewish house is okay, Rabbeinu Avraham. Some people say Jewish house is not okay. So we have a Nato like Rabbeinu Avraham. Okay. That's a perfectly fine shot in the Ramah. It's not the Mechaber, but in the Ramah. Third shot in the shot is, third shot is that Mishum is Nehabayet Chosen to get home. Give me a second. Third shot is he really didn't mean it's a Meshifa or a Jewish house. He really meant because all the family members stoked the coals. But that's very dachuk because that's the next line of the Ramah, not this line. What does the Ramah say? B'di'evin, we can be so much on the Matirin. And even the Chachilim were knowing the Hakel because the Bnei Bayis stoked the coals. So it's very dachuk to say he meant that the Bnei Bayis stoked the coals and he said, be Evet Somchan Al HaMatirin, right? This is very dachuk because that's only in the next part of Ramah that he said, really it's much like the Bnei Bayis stoked the coals. It wouldn't make sense to say, we're Somich LaHakel because the Bnei Bayis stoked the coals. And it's mutter because they buy a soap to cold. No, it sounds like two different things. Okay, fourth shot. The fourth shot is what it says in the Shem Rashba. Not the Rashba himself. The Yesh Omer of the Shem Rashba. Right? Let's call it the Rashba. Why? I mean, the Rashba himself was the Machmer. But when he quotes the Mako, he doesn't quote the Mako, Mistama, he mentions Rebbe the Ramban. He doesn't quote the Ramban being Mako, Rebbe Orchis Chaim quotes the Ramban being Mako. Because they're owned by us. He quotes the Mako, the stomach is Rabbi Darban, that's how he understood Darban, but the different Svara, what's his Svara? The Shach likes the Svara. That, why do you think in a Shifcha there should be no Gzeira?
Because neither idea applies.
Because neither idea applies. Let's even stick with the Ikra idea of Chasnas. What is Chasnas is if someone does something. If someone does something like of their own free will, like they invite you or something, if someone's taking orders, there's no chasnas. Chasnas is only people act of free will, not if they take orders. What does he say here? I'll read you his lashon. Shvachas v'avodim she'osim bal korchas ben yitzur ben lo yitzur ein b'zeh kirev hada'as. There's no kirev hada'as if someone's taking orders. There's some guy who's being ordered around. That's not kirev hada'as. Kirev hada'as, someone does something nice. Not if you're ordering them around. So, says the Rashba, Ein Kirov Hada'as Ela Be'osem Yertzono. Only if someone does it their own idea, then there's Kirov Hada'as. But there's no Kirov Hada'as in Shvachos. Okay, Yishlo Demazeh. But that's also possible pshat. Not possible pshat, that's what the Rashba says. He himself doesn't like it. That's how he quotes the Makim. Okay, Halacha L'maisa, what's the Nafkamina? The Nafkamina is
between these four pshatim. Now, Kavina is, what about nowadays? If the reason is because we own the slaves, we don't own slaves nowadays. I don't think anyone lives in the stand. If the reason is to the shita, we're about a housekeeper, right? We don't own our housekeepers, right? So then the reason would not apply. If the reason is the Jewish house, then the reason would apply. If the reason is because all the people in the house stoke the coals, no one stokes the coals nowadays, that would not apply. If the reason is because it's not kiruv hadas if someone has to take orders, then it's not kiruv hadas. They're not doing it of their own free will. So the question, so here the nafkamina between these four pshatim is whether there's a heter nowadays for housekeepers, right? A lot of people, right, who are not so well educated in health official Akam, they tell the housekeeper to cook for them. So does that make a treif or not? So it depends. According to the first and third reasons, it's treif. According to the second and fourth reason, it's mutter b'dievet, right? Meaning, usher or mutter b'dievet. Clearly, the Ramos only make a b'dievet, but either. So the question is, which of these pshatim do we paskin like? Halacha l'maisa. This is very controversial. Halacha l'maisa, I saw in the Chelkas Binyamin, and it makes sense. After all, two of these reasons are dumb. But some of the reasons, either two or four. Halacha l'maisa, yesh l'hakel bid the eved, and certainly b'makom torah, b'seiruf, base verse able. Mamaisa, if it's in a Jewish house and it's a shifra and it's a housekeeper who has to follow orders, then Lamaisa, you could be Makel. then Lamaisa, you could be Makel Bidyevit.
Bidyevit, as in the food is already cooked?
Yes. That's a big kula. That's a big kula. Not everyone likes this kula. But certainly, welcome to Torah. You can make them together, and certainly Makom Tzorech, this is a big kula. That means that if someone's housekeeper cooked, let's say someone's parents, like, they don't know the halacha so well, and his mother always told the housekeeper to cook, then b'dieved, there's no room for mouth of l'chachila, but b'dieved, then do they have to fight with their mother and say, I'm not eating the food in this house, or can they eat the food? So based on the Ramah, based on Pshatim 2 and 4, b'dieved, they can be makel and eat the food, because the Shvachal Shalom and the Ramah is Mekel B'dievet. Okay, what about the Chachiva? Okay, so they should get the Shul Rabbi to educate the Congress of Chachiva about the proper halachos. And he won't tell them it's coming from their kids. But halacha l'maisa, there is room. L'maisa, I wouldn't run to use this kula, because it is radical and a lot of people reject it. And there are a ton of Rishonim who reject it. But l'maisa, certainly if you're stuck, certainly, the Makom Tzorech. Personally, like, if it was my house and accidentally, like, someone told the housekeeper to boil up a pot of pasta, I don't know if I would be Makom. I have another bag of pasta in the pantry. But certainly, if you're stuck, if you're in someone's house and you don't want to make a fight or embarrass them or whatever, or, you know, or it's a really video situation, then you could be Makom based on this Ramah, because probably Pshatim 2 or 4 are correct, and as long as you have both Pshatim, even the Chelkas Binyamin, who's very, very, very master about everything, agrees you can make though based on the combination of Rabbeinu Avraham and the Sfar of the Rashba of Osa Mersono. So that is a big, big, big Tzad L'Hakel, B'dieven, a lot of things. No one says L'Chachila, but B'dieven, if you're stuck, that's a great Tzad L'Hakel to know about. Yes. And then the if that's machlokas later, but certainly we can make on the kelim, which is another machlokas anyway. Yeah, certainly I wouldn't worry about the kelim. We'll come back to that.
The shita of Ram, is that assuming that other people are home or just
no? Stop. Okay. We'll have to finish this Amir Tzashem Thursday. Remember, I'm going to America for the weekend, so I will not be here Sunday and Monday. So instead, we'll have shir Thursday instead of the following Sunday. So 2 days from now, we will finish the simon. Mirat Hashem Bli Neder. We'll, the truth is that
If we want to, we can run through it very quickly, because it's not so hard, and we've already discussed a lot of the details. So we will, Lemir Tashem, continue on Thursday at the regular time.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.